there, hi there, ho there. I'm London.
And I'm Anne. And this is Entertainment Mania, where we love you 3,000. Hi, everybody.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. We are continuing our MCU rankings. We've already done phases 1 and 2, and now we are moving on to phase 3.
Which is a lot bigger than I expected it to be.
I forgot how many movies are in phase 3. Like, there's 11 of them. The other two phases had 6 each, I think, and this one has 11. So a lot to get through. And the quality of these movies, in my opinion, are a step above what we've already gotten from the MCU. So it was even harder to rank these.
It was very difficult.
Yes, but that's okay.
Yes, it absolutely is.
Okay, so the movies in MCU Phase 3, in order of release, are Captain America Civil War, Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, Thor Ragnarok, Black Panther, Avengers Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Captain Marvel, Avengers Endgame, and Spider-Man Far From Home.
Woohoo!
That's a lot!
This is gonna be so hard!
But London and I have each made a list. If you have not been here with us before, we've each made a list by ourselves. We don't know what our lists each look like. And we're going to go from the bottom all the way up to the top to our personal number ones. And we'll see how our lists match and talk through our choices. And here we go.
Yep, here we go.
All right.
Okay.
You want to go first with your number 11?
Number 11. All of this was so difficult. For number 11, I'm going to have to go with Doctor Strange. I feel like I'm answering a stupid little reality TV. Like, I'm going to have to go with this one or some. Anyway.
Doctor Strange made it
to the bottom of my list. Not because it was, like, a bad movie or anything. Just, I liked a lot of the others a little bit more. And as fun as it was, it didn't fully fit with all of the others. It was another origin story, which was absolutely necessary to introduce Doctor Strange to the show and everything. And the music's fun, the cinematography was interesting, and the plot was fun. But yeah, it wasn't necessarily my favorite.
I really like Doctor Strange, but you'll see where that ends up on my list. So,
my
number 11 is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
That one was also another one that I was thinking of putting down there.
Yeah. It's just not my favorite film. I feel like the other two Guardians movies focus a lot more on the dynamic of the group and those relationships. And I feel like this one, like, focus more on individual relationships amongst the characters. It'll be like Gamora and Nebula. Like, that's their focus. And then it's like Drax and Mantis, and that's their focus, if that makes any sense. So, I don't know. And then the humor is still good in this movie, but it just doesn't live up to the first one. I don't think it's necessarily a bad movie. It just, out of all the great films we got in Phase 3, yes, and the first one was better. So, that's fine. You know what? Do what we must. Yeah. All right. On to number 10.
Number 10, for me.
We've got a lot to go through.
Yes, for me, number 10 was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And he's only slightly higher than Doctor Strange because Baby Groot is really cute. That's, like, basically the only reason.
Hey, to be honest, that's how a lot of this list was. It was like, okay, these two are tied.
It comes down to really small, stupid little things of, but I like this better.
See, and that's why, in my opinion, nobody's ranking of the MCU is wrong, because, like, there are certain different things that are going to stick out to like, you have the right to like whatever you want, and so please just enjoy our lists, but make your own and know that we're not right. We're just
sharing our opinions.
Exactly.
If you have a differing opinion, let us know.
I'd love to hear your list. My number 10 is Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, again, it's a good movie. I feel like the first one out of the two movies was better. I don't know. I liked a lot of aspects of it. I just feel like it falls a little bit flat, and compared to the rest of the movies on this list, it's just not quite as great, but it's still good.
Yep. Alrighty. We're moving through this a lot quicker than I expected because I know. We're actually usually being focused right now.
We're usually way off topic at this point, so.
Yeah. Okay, number 9. Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay, do you want to go first or shall I?
I can go first, that's fine.
Okay, I'll hear yours.
Okay, so my number 9 is kind of sad to me because I really do love this movie and the memory of seeing it also makes me really happy, but unfortunately the other films in this phase, again, are just better. My number 9 is Captain Marvel.
Aw, I get why, but it like there were so many good movies and I understand why they all get in different spots. But yes, go ahead and explain. Tell me why number 9 for Captain Marvel.
Well, I think I almost just want to talk about what I love about this movie because it really is so good. Lennon and I, for those of you who don't know, this was the first movie we saw in theaters together, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
And it was also the same night as the Hokey Pokey of 2019. No, I will not elaborate. But
welcome to one of the few inside jokes of our friendship. One of the many, actually.
There's actually a few, yeah. That one is my particular favorite.
Good news is we're all
inside
safe.
Joke.
We're good.
Yes, we're all alive, clearly, because it's 2023 and we're still here making this podcast.
But this movie to me was just so good. And I know that some people don't love it and I respect people's opinions. But in my opinion, it was really nice to see a female character that was so empowered and to see them take some of the stereotypes that sometimes you see women in movies have, like they're often criticized for being too emotional or not emotional enough. And they talk about that. There's one point when she's on the phone with, I can't remember who it is, like her commander or whatever. And he's like, don't get emotional. And it's like, this is a very real time to get emotional. This would be a very good time to get emotional. And you're telling her, don't cry. Like, okay. And then that scene at the end of the movie when he's like, don't use your powers, just show me what you can do.
Fight me
you
one and on I. one.
And she uses her powers and it's like, that's my favorite thing in the whole world. Because it's like, if you have these special abilities, you should use them. There is no reason that you should pull what you can do back for other people. And I loved that. I think this movie is great. I just think that amongst the other films on this list, I feel like
a lot of the others... a little bit more.
Well, and the thing is that I feel like the plot to Captain Marvel is one that is used frequently. Not necessarily a bad thing, it's just used a lot. Whereas I feel like the other ones had slightly more unique plots and a little bit more surprise... a few more surprises to them, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But that was my number 9.
That makes sense. Okay, my number 9 is Ant-Man and the Wasp. Mm-hmm. Good movie. Solid all around. I really, really loved the... I know what it's called. Give me just a second. The World's Greatest Grandma. Trophy that Scott gets from Cassie. I thought that was really cute. And... I think it made it just a little bit higher than Guardians of the Galaxy because of that end credit scene, because it that set up so much hype for Avengers Endgame, and that was really fun.
I remember sitting in the theater and seeing that end credit scene and just like being filled with that same sense of dread that you get at the end of Avengers Infinity War. And getting to relive that dread was like...
And in like a, it was an interesting way to end that movie because it almost made the Infinity War situation worse. Because it was so clearly something that if all of his little buddies up outside of the however far down he went, quantum realm or whatever, if they weren't able to pull him back, like, who else disappeared as well and stuff,
right?
Just like, right. We need our smart minds to be able to solve this and come up with any sort of solution. And the more of them that disappear, the smaller our chance of success is.
Yeah.
And yet we got through it. Okay. But we didn't know it at the time.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Number eight.
Yes. You want me to go first?
Sure.
My number eight. And I have a feeling some people are going to get mad at me for this one.
I love you anyway, though.
My number eight is Black Panther.
Oh, okay. I get you.
Good movie.
Tell me why.
Great movie. It just, I think, especially the first time I watched them, the other films I liked more. And I feel like this used a lot of the same. There were definitely different things about the plot in this one, but there were also some of the same MCU things where it's our hero and then the villain ends up getting the same powers as them. And then they have that clash and the hero ends up winning. But I do love the family dynamic, the family feelings that we get in this movie with T'Challa and his family. And the Wakandan culture is so rich and I love that aspect of this movie. It's a great movie. It really is. It makes me sad. I have to put it all the way down at number eight, but it must go somewhere.
Yes, it must fit on the list somewhere. You're probably going to be sad about my number eight as well. I actually put Captain America Civil War here at number eight. Less because I didn't like the movie and more because I don't enjoy when I feel like there's unnecessary conflict. And it felt like, to a certain extent, like I understood where everybody's arguments were coming from, but it really felt just a tiny bit too far past unreasonable. Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, not... It was definitely contrived, of course, because it's a movie, plot has to happen and everything. And Tony and Steve have always had their differences and stuff. But it did really feel like in the film, one of the major antagonists is the U.S. government and the U.N. coming after them or whatever. And I'm just surprised they didn't do that in any other film. Like, I get that that's the focus of this film. It's like, but where are they in every other film?
Right.
Other than that, I really enjoyed this one. It was the first time we got to see Spider-Man in the MCU. And I remember how excited I was about the casting announcement. And it was actually the first time I'd heard of Tom Holland.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Very first time I'd heard of him. And then like a month later or something, I don't remember the exact timing. It might have been before or after. I saw a movie called In the Heart of the Sea, which actually starred Chris Hemsworth and Tom Holland in the film.
Oh, yeah.
And so I actually got to see him in that film before I saw him as Spider-Man. But yeah, it was a fun film. Just don't always like when my little fictional friends are fighting each other. Anyway. Number seven.
Do you want to go first on this one?
Oh, you might hate me for this one. Avengers Endgame.
I don't hate you for that. I can't believe it's all the way down there.
There are reasons I put others higher, and it's more just I enjoyed the other films better. Like, Avengers Endgame was great the first time around. Like, first time through, I absolutely loved it. The more I watch it, the harder it becomes to enjoy all of the wacky little time travel. Because time travel is a very difficult thing to, quote, get right, which is not really something we can properly get right, because we don't have a full understanding of time travel. At the best, we have what happens when you go super fast and you can kind of travel a little bit further forward in time quicker than other people. That's all we can really do at the moment. And we have no way of figuring out how to go backwards. So like fictionally, it's a very interesting concept, but very few stories agree on how time travel should work and what the consequences and reverberations or whatever of stepping into the past should be. Mm-hmm. And like first time through, it's super fun. You enjoy it. You're crying over everybody dying and stuff. But then you get through that and you have to start thinking about everything, because now you're focused on other things watching the film, and it kind of loses a little bit of its luster, but it was still a very good film.
Yeah.
Very good music. Holy cow.
Yeah, the music in that one's great.
Alan Silvestri killed it. Great job.
That is one of those movies that is definitely best on the first watch.
Mm-hmm. It kind of depreciates value a little bit, but it's still a great film. I still really enjoyed it.
It's still great. I remember watching it with you in the theater.
We were sobbing. Holy cow. We had to go get pizza afterwards because we were so emotionally drained.
I think we watched a Tinkerbell movie too.
Yeah. Was it the Pirate Fairy or?
I think it was. I think we watched
it. It might have been the Pirate Fairy. And
one of them was definitely that the Pirate one, and Fairy.
Maybe.
Because we had to watch it.
We might have done the Never Beast as well, because that one's my personal favorite out of all of the Tinkerbell films, which is really mm-hmm. funny because this is a very short tangent. It's the only Tinkerbell film that doesn't focus on Tinkerbell, and maybe that's why I like it.
I get it.
Tinkerbell's fun, I guess, but she kind of drives me nuts sometimes.
The Pirate Fairy is my favorite Tinkerbell film, and I think it's because I love that. I love the power swap.
Whatever her name is. Oh, yeah. I
love that.
That was such a good idea.
I love the Pirate Fairy mix herself, it up. But yeah, the power swap, I don't know what the
The only reason I don't like that movie is Tom Hiddleston's character. Captain Hook.
Captain Hook.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Holland loves that film for that reason. She loves that it's Tom Hiddleston in there. And I'm like, no, this is the exact reason I hate the show. But I do actually very much love it. I hear his voice and I'm like, no, Loki, stop.
I bet our audience was not expecting to hear about Tinkerbell today. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry about the tangent, but we're back on track now.
Let's see. What were
your number seven?
About?
Did you Thank do you. Your number seven?
My number seven is Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Great movie.
Great start.
Like, it's nothing super special. I think it's a great movie, though. I think Tom Holland does a fantastic job as Spider-Man. I think it was fun having Zendaya in that movie, but having her literally just be the comic relief that you only see a few times, and then to get more of her later was great. I think the use of the music in this movie is so good, especially in like the last like third. The use of the music just to impact emotions is so powerful in this movie, and I love that aspect of it. So, like, for example, when the Vulture is talking to Peter in the car, and the music there's no or little music during that entire scene to help get those nervous, like, because we're not used to not hearing music, so getting the nerves kind of
it makes you tense and apprehensive.
Yes,
because you'd spent the whole film with a soundtrack, and then when it stops, and I don't remember if it stopped like suddenly or if it kind of like tapered off, and then it's in this scene when you get to hear all of the background noises a little bit louder, and there's this long silence that you realize, oh, it's been quiet for a while, and it really like draws you into the scene and the fear, I guess, that Peter has just sitting there in the back of the car, nervous out of his mind.
The anxiety that you feel in the last third of that movie is so good. It's palpable. Unlike almost anything else we get in the MCU, and I love that. Mm-hmm. Anyways, great movie, but are we ready to move on to number six?
I am. Yours or mine?
I'm good either way.
Okay, I'll go next. Number six, I have Captain Marvel, because that's... I really enjoyed the Captain Marvel film. It's an experience that we shared together, mm-hmm. and just, I like, I've always enjoyed the Marvel space stories. They're fun, even though they spend most of it on Earth. And yeah, I really like the Carol Danvers character. It makes me kind of sad that people dislike Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, for the same reason that they like Tony, Iron Man. They're both confident, snarky, sarcastic characters with a great deal of power, who can fly. Not that that matters in this comparison, but they just do what they want, say what they want, and yet people like Tony for it and dislike Carol for it. And yeah, it kind of makes me sad.
But I feel like we could get a lot more in depth with that idea in another episode, but like, just to build on to that, like, Tony Stark, a lot of those bad decisions that he makes also has negative impacts on other people, mm-hmm. yet that doesn't happen a lot with Carol, and yet they still don't, like, Captain Marvel just is not a character that people like, and I don't really know where that bridge doesn't connect for some people, and I respect everybody's opinions, but I think she's cool.
Yep. Okay, on to number five.
I haven't done my number six yet.
Do your number six. Why did I think we were going to number five?
Because there's a lot of movies. And
yeah.
I know, I looked down at my list and I went, I didn't say that one yet. My number six mm-hmm. is Doctor Strange.
Okay, cool. Why did you put it higher? I'm curious.
Well, I actually love this movie. I think that the visuals in this movie are some of the best that we get in the MCU. While it does use the basic MCU formula of having the hero and the villain having basically the same powers, but the villain's technically slightly stronger, but then the hero comes out in the end, it does use that formula. But I feel like all the mystic art stuff that we got was really, really cool. I also thought that that scene at the end with Dormammu was really clever. Like the whole trapping you in a time loop. And then, of course, we get to see the character progression of Dr. Stephen Strange going from being quite a bit like Tony Stark, just very full of himself, and then having this humbling experience, choosing to become a better person, all the way to the point where he is literally willing to sacrifice his own time and life in this time loop. And eventually ends up saving the entire Earth. Because of it. Yeah. So
you'd think I'd have put Doctor Strange a little bit higher on my list, mainly because I absolutely relate to him with the whole my hands don't work. his definitely work less than mine do. But yeah, I absolutely relate to that one. And it was a movie that was going to be a very big gamble on Marvel's part, because up until then they hadn't really done anything magic related, and frequently it can be hard to mesh magic systems with sci-fi systems, and I feel like they've done a fairly good job of explaining that. It's just all of it ends up being energy, and it's just a different way of utilizing energy and whatever. Maybe I'm explaining that correctly. Anyway, on to number five.
Yeah, sure.
Unless you have more comments.
Nope. I have plenty of comments on Doctor Strange, but there's lots of other movies to get to, and I'm sure we have lots more for as we go higher up the list. My number five is Spider-Man Far From Home.
Ooh, okay. I just so happen to be wearing the Edith glasses for this specific reason right now.
They're fantastic. We might have to take some cool photos of ourselves to put up on our Instagram. And we'll have to take a couple of you in those, because they're sweet.
Maybe not when I'm staring at my computer screen, because right now I can see my own Doc's image on my lens.
I cannot see your eyes. I can only see the reflection of your screen. There we go. Is that
better?
But Spider-Man Far From Home, I think the thing that puts this higher on the list for me is that not everything works out for Peter Parker in the end. And I know that that makes some people dislike the film, but a film that can make me cry or get close to emotional makes it a better film, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And especially the ending, where his identity is revealed to the entire world, and the panic that you know he feels even just in that moment before we mm-hmm. even get Spider-Man No Way Home. I feel like it just wraps up the whole film, and it was quite a surprise to me. That's why it's at number 5 on my list.
Yeah. For me, I have Black Panther at number 5. Hmm. I really, really enjoyed this film, not just because of like the set design, the CGI design or whatever for all of the Wakandan things and such, but the music was amazing, and you know I'm a music nerd. And I think what I really enjoyed about Black Panther was the relationship that T'Challa has with every member of his family, including Killmonger, which was a fantastic villain. He was really great. Mm-hmm. Frequently, villains in the MCU, their motivations are understandable. And to a certain extent, it's like, you know what? I would be motivated by that as well to do something. But the difference between the hero and the villain is what they're doing to try and fix this or get justice for this thing or whatever. And so mm-hmm. It was very interesting to get to see Killmonger and his, I want to bring this wealth of this country that should have done something for us by now out to the rest of my people that are struggling. And that, like, specifically that scene when T'Challa's in the, what's it called? The spirit realm or something,
ancestral
plane, and he yells at all of the past kings, "You were wrong, all of you were wrong," is just, I think, my favorite scene in the whole film. Mm-hmm. Chadwick Boseman did such a good job, and it's really unfortunate that he passed and we don't get to see him as Black Panther anymore.
It's very, very unfortunate that we lost him. I do like, though, and I know this is phase 4 technically, but I do really like how they did the story with him being gone for,
yes,
Wakanda Forever.
Black Panther, yeah, that one.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I feel like what they did was awesome and a really good tribute to him. So yeah, but Black Panther mm-hmm. is wonderful. I wish it could have been higher on my list, but, you know.
Yeah, it is what it is. So, number 4.
Right. Yes, number 4.
So, for me, I put Spider-Man Homecoming for number 4. I am a huge Spider-Man fan, and I really enjoyed this movie. I've seen it so many times. I really liked how much youthful optimism we got to see from Spider-Man in this film, because that's, when it boils down to it, that's typically what Spider-Man is. I know some people were a little upset that he got this super nice fancy suit from Tony Stark and he wasn't, like, you know, the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man in jammies or mm-hmm. his own homemade suit for so long. But we saw two sets of movies for that sort of Spider-Man, and it was interesting to get to see a different Spider-Man. And I mean, who wouldn't want fun little toys? Who doesn't want to be a little super sugar baby? That's, oh my gosh.
That was a very interesting choice of words.
Yeah. Tony's just like, here's some nice stuff. Take care of yourself. And Peter's like, okay. When do I get to do Avengers stuff?
I love when they've altered
him calling the suit. Happy like 400 times.
I love when they take the tracker out of the suit and Tony's
it's
like,
it's called the babysitting protocol or something.
And he's like, you missed with like a multi-million-dollar piece of technology. Suit.
Yeah.
And I,
it's like, this is so expensive. Why did you do that? Oh man.
It's a good movie. And I think it does a really good job of reminding you that Peter Parker is so young.
With the amount of time that we spent in like high school scenes, that really like cemented, oh, this kid is 15.
Yeah.
Like, he's a small baby boy.
And the fact that he grows by the end of the film to be like, you know what? I'm good not being on the Avengers.
Yeah.
I'm good not being on the Avengers.
Take your time.
Thank you. The fact that he's just like, I'm good not being on the Avengers. Like, I just want to live
and
my
the
high school.
Then literally the next movie is like, oh, now you're an Avenger.
Sorry, Peter Parker.
Whoops. Whoopsies.
Well, yeah, good movie. Any other thoughts on that one?
Like that. I enjoyed the music, but yeah, it was good.
All right. We're on 4, right?
Yes, we are on number 4.
That's what I thought. My number 4 is Avengers Endgame. And I wish I could have put this higher on my list. And part of me feels like I almost should have put it lower.
Because I kid you not, I was editing this list while we were talking. Like, as soon as we talked about number 11, I was like, you know what? Things need to change.
Things need to move around.
I've moved a lot of stuff around. I could not tell you what my original list was.
But I, the reason that it's at 4 and it's not lower for me is from watching it the first time. I remember when I went in and watched it, I don't know if you remember this, London, but when we sat down in the theater, I remember telling you, and then we saw it with our friend James as well. I remember telling the two of you, I don't like being in the theater where people comment on a movie as it's happening. And, then I sat down in the theater, and at the end of the movie, when Captain America lifts Thor's hammer, I literally cheered. And I am not that kind of person. But I remember some of those feelings that I felt. The emotion, that like the sadness and the sheer joy when that specifically happens, and then like, you know, plenty of other things about the film. That's why it's higher on the list. But if we were thinking just plot and the film overall, I might have put it lower, but for now, we're going to keep it at number 4.
I forgot just what an experience it was to be in that theater and have everybody like reacting live. Like, that's honestly one of the reasons why I enjoy going to the theater. I like watching movies at home because I like to talk over the movie, because I've seen it like 6 or 7 times. And so I want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to ruin too many other people's experiences other than, you know, yours and Rhiannon's and maybe my dad's, because I want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But I've really enjoyed how excited people get about the fun moments and stuff, and when we all laugh out loud about things, like when we were at the Dungeons and Dragons movie. That was such a great crowd. It was great. Mm-hmm. So I remember specific movies that I've seen in theaters where it was just a really fun, good experience.
See, and I'm very much a theater movie watcher. Like, seeing stuff opening weekend is something that I absolutely love. Being in that theater with people reacting and laughing and all that stuff, it is just, it's just great. And this is just one of those films where I can remember being in the movie theater and listening to everybody react, and that made the movie better. I think if I was watching it by myself, just like on my couch, I would not like this movie as much as I do.
Yeah. It's there are very few movies that I watch by myself. movies are more of a communal thing 90% of the time. I'll happily watch TV shows by myself because those are long and they take forever. Yeah. And sometimes I watch it so that I can talk about it with somebody else. But yeah, movies are definitely a little bit more of a, hey, I want to watch this with you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Number three? Yeah. Did we get your number four?
Yeah, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah, number three. You want to share your number three?
Sure.
All right.
Surprise, surprise. It's Spider-Man Far From Home.
Ooh.
I really enjoyed this movie. And it's not entirely because of Michael Giacchino, but it's mostly because of Michael Giacchino. Because he did the soundtrack for this film. And if any of you are music nerds or specifically Pixar nerds, you'll know that Michael Giacchino, he's done like the last 10 to 15 or I don't know, a lot of the most recent Pixar films, amazing soundtracks, and his favorite instrument to use in most of them is the piano. He also did the Batman film, and there's this amazing piano sonata in it that is just amazing. But the theme for Peter and MJ in this film is played mostly on the piano, and it's absolutely gorgeous. I really love it. I'm also just a sucker for anything Spider-Man, so that's why it's at number three.
I love it. I love it so much.
Thank you.
My number three, are you ready for it?
Yeah. Boom. Are you ready for it?
I said it and I was like, Taylor Swift lyric.
Knew he was a kid.
We haven't done a Taylor Swift episode yet, but maybe we'll get
around to
it.
We're going to. One of these days.
Her tour is coming
maybe
to an
when
end.
The, so. Yeah, maybe when the Eras tour comes to an end and then we can talk about all of the mistakes that happened on stage.
Oh, that's okay. Okay, we're talking about number three, right? I want to make sure I'm in the right place on my list.
Yes, you are on number three, correct?
Number three Demundo. For me, is Thor Ragnarok.
I would have thought that'd be higher. Continue.
We're at number three already. That's pretty darn
yes!
high. One of the reasons that I love this movie is because I think it is one of the most rewatchable films of the MCU.
Over and over and over and over again. It has Jeff Goldblum.
It has so much going on, but all of it works so well that I just think it's so easy to rewatch. The film is funny. I absolutely love what they did with Loki in this film. I like from start to finish, it's got the perfect mix of like dramatic plot and humor. It's so good.
Oh, man,
the costumes are wonderful. The set is wonderful. I just want to give like a big round of applause to everybody involved in this film. The only reason that it's not higher on my list is because the other two films personally have a bigger impact on the kind of story I like to watch. But it's so, so good.
Amazing. Every thought in my brain disappeared. I've had maybe 15 hours of sleep in the last 3 days. So
15 hours of sleep and yay.
I'm exhausted. It's fine. At least it's not my cat keeping me up this time. Okay.
That's good.
Number three, we already did it. On to number two.
Wait, no, we haven't heard your number three.
It was Far From Home, ma'am.
No, we did. I'm so sorry. You'd think I was the one that only got 15 hours of sleep in the last 3 days. No, that's not true.
How much sleep did you get?
Well, I was running on 15 hours of sleep-ish, like, this past weekend, but I was finally able to sleep in this morning, so I got, like, a good 10 hours of sleep last night. Yeah.
Wow. I wish. Oh my gosh.
It's been a long time since I've been able to get more than like 7.5 hours. So getting to sleep in this morning was wonderful.
Oh man.
Anyways, yes, we're moving on to number two. Did you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Okay. So for me, number two is Thor Ragnarok.
Okay.
I love this movie. It's so good. I'm a sucker for sibling stories. Every single time. specifically sisters, but I really love this set of brothers. I love how loyal that Thor remains to Loki despite all of the crap that he puts him through, and
yeah.
all of the being there and then disappearing right when he needs him and then dying on him all the time. And
mm-hmm.
I also absolutely love the beginning when Thor comes home to Asgard and Loki's being, quote, Odin, unquote, and he's got a whole play about his death, and Matt Damon
so good
is in this film
it's
playing
so good.
This Asgardian actor playing Loki, and Chris Hemsworth's brother, his brother, is playing Thor in mm-hmm. in the little play, which is absolutely hilarious, like super funny to me. And just when he's like, oh crap, when he sees Thor coming, he just sits down his drink, he's so nervous. But to see Anthony Hopkins doing that,
uh-huh.
oh, so funny. So just, funny.
The
music in this film was
so
also
good.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Like, it very much had this 80s vibe going on with it. 80s or 70s, I think it's 80s. Might be 70s though. I am
but
not
they
an expert
still...
on either of those time periods.
If you listen to the soundtrack, they still get good use out of mm-hmm. Thor's theme from the other
they do,
two films.
Which, once again, is I'm bringing this up again. This is one of the few trilogies out of all of the things that they're doing where they actually are consistent with the music.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they got somebody else to actually do the music for Thor Ragnarok, but they were still consistent with the theme. Like, you hear that Sons of Odin theme at the very end of Thor Ragnarok, when we've got Thor and Loki next to each other, Thor finally sitting on the throne, finally having accepted the role of king of Asgard, or leader of his people at the very least.
Uh-huh.
And then cut to the end credit scene and we're like, oh no. Oh no.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
I did
very
not
good
know-
movie.
I didn't know the magnitude of, like, that end credit
none
scene.
None of us did.
Until
absolutely
Infinity
none of us
War
did.
And, yeah.
Gosh. And then it broke all of our hearts. Also, we'll... Valkyrie is great. How did we forget about Valkyrie?
I don't know how we forgot
She's
her.
She's iconic. And She's Bruce wonderful. Banner in this film was so funny.
Just amazing. All
Love
of
that.
It. All the way through.
Mm-hmm.
My number two is... Captain America Civil War.
That makes sense.
I'm a little bit surprised yeah. that it was farther down on the list for you, but then you explained it and that actually mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense to me, so
yeah. Other than that, it would have been higher, but yeah.
See, I don't love infighting, especially for just, you know, just to make things more dramatic. However, one reason I love this film is because even today watching it, I personally go back and forth between Team Cap and Team Iron Man.
It really does depend
see,
on the moment.
Exactly. I can see both sides having extremely valid arguments, and I often wonder, like, if I was in that position, what choice would I make? And I think my brain automatically goes, you would choose Team Cap, because I am a Chris Evans simp. But...
and you're a simp for blonde boys.
I just... he is
blonde boys with blue eyes.
Dirty blonde.
Technically, yeah.
There's a bit of green in your eyes. That is a quote from this
How
movie.
Nice. How nice to find a flaw.
I just...
Baron Zemo was actually great in the... What was it? Falcon and the Winter Soldier. He was... I actually really
yeah.
enjoyed him in that.
He was pretty fun in
Less
that
Less so
one.
In this movie, but yeah. Like, I understand where he's coming from
yeah.
in both situations, but...
I just think it's really fun. I like that all of our heroes got kind of, like, their moment in this movie. Like, everybody got a moment or two to just be really, really cool. And I thought that was fun. And it was, like, this was until Infinity... Well, up to this point, this was the biggest gathering of heroes we had.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing that was really cool. Obviously, it gets bigger after that with Infinity War and then Endgame. But it's still really, really cool to see all that happen. So there's my number two.
Okay.
Shall we say our number one?
Mm-hmm. 3, 2, 1. There's no point in us trying to say it together because we're 40 minutes away from each other, and so it's always going to be just slightly off. But we know that we both have Avengers Infinity War up there at the top.
Yes, ma'am. It was actually
just a great movie.
Honestly, London, I remember your reaction after Avengers Endgame, and I genuinely thought it was going to be your number one on this list. So when it came in so low on your list, I was genuinely very surprised.
Well, time does not always heal all wounds. But that does make my day better. So glad I could make you laugh. But yeah, this was a great movie. Just, like, honestly, it could all boil down to just Captain America showing up as, like, his, what's the nomad? Just that scene in the train station or whatever it's called in England. And he just shows up out of the dark and you're like, we can go home now. That was great. He's got a beard. Woohoo!
See, and that's the thing about this movie is that I feel like it's full of moments that feel just like that.
Oh yeah. They definitely, I'm not sure I would say they might have. The problem with the Avengers and these two big films, Infinity War and Endgame, is they have so many characters, and not all of the characters actually have musical themes that they can use, so they just keep using the Avengers theme, which is great, it's a great theme, but if you play it more than 3 times in a singular scene, you're gonna get a little bit bored of it. And so that is one of the problems that they ran into with both Endgame and Infinity War, but despite that, they still did a very good job.
They really did. I still remember I saw this movie the Tuesday after it had come out. So I technically missed opening weekend, and I knew plenty of people that saw it before me. And I was in high school at the time, and I remember people coming back to school and being like just still like shocked from seeing the movie and being like, what in the world happens? Like, to make people react like that. And then I saw it and I got it and I understood, like, the absolute dread that I felt walking out of that theater.
You're like, oh no, how are they fixing this? Like, so many people are dead.
I know, I was like, what the heck just
happened? Do you mean all of these people are still on the cast list for the next movie? At the end of the film, it was like, what on earth are we gonna do? Like, how are these people still on the cast list for the next movie? Mm-hmm. Or we were worried about the fact that they weren't on, like, the cast list hadn't actually been released. And so we didn't know whether or not they were going to be in the next film. Like, it might have genuinely been permanent.
Yeah. I'm sure you've seen it. The interview with Chadwick Boseman. When somebody goes, what can you tell us about Black Panther 2? And this was after Infinity War had come out, but before Endgame. And there were rumors about films like Black Panther 2 and other things happening. And his reply is just like, I'm dead. Like, they just kept asking him questions. He just kept shrugging his shoulders. He's just like, I'm dead. You know, just, I think that is one of the most clever ways that, like, it wasn't even clever. It just... The fact that
it was just, he was like, I really don't, either he genuinely didn't know or he just went for the simplest response, which was based on the movie that you just saw. I'm dead. So,
and you know what? There almost was a look on his face as to like, I don't know how they're going to fix this almost, you know, he probably did, but it was kind of a little bit like, I can't really tell you much, you know, like,
I can't tell you much. It's none of my business anyway. So I'm just sitting here.
It just, the Infinity War is, in my opinion, the best movie in the MCU.
And I think you're right.
It's
because, like, in Endgame, I feel like both of them had so many heroes that they were trying to deal with. And I think Infinity War handled using all of them a little bit better.
I agree.
Because, like, I love Captain Marvel, but when she's up against these sorts of things and everybody else, they're like, the power difference is just ridiculous. And so it was difficult to be able to use her alongside everybody else. And so I get why they had her off helping in other places. And it was nice to see that she was like, yeah, I gotta go help elsewhere. There's other things that need to happen. Like, Earth is not the only planet in the galaxy.
Yeah. I also find this movie to be the most engaging of the MCU. Like, all of the, most every MCU film is incredibly engaging. But this movie had me hooked from beginning to end. Like, I feel like, Endgame especially, I feel like has moments that are a lot slower. And it's a lot easier to kind of, you know, let your mind wander. But in this movie, at least in my experience, it's very, very easy to just get lost in the plot and the characters and the setting. And it's so much easier just to get completely enveloped in this movie. And I love it. Well, we have come to the top of our list. If you don't agree with us and don't think that Avengers,
if you don't agree with us, get out. I'm kidding. We love you.
No.
If you don't agree, tell us why. I'm curious.
Love to hear. Yeah. Yeah, so thanks for sticking around. If you haven't heard our other two ranking videos, we rank MCU phases 1 and 2. So go and check those out. They're fun. We've got lots of other episodes like this. And if you loved the mania of all of it, just thanks for sticking around and check out some other episodes. We've got Instagram at Entertainment Mania Podcast and a Tumblr at Entertainment-Mania. And we will see you all next time.
Ciao.
Really long.
That was really long. That was, yeah.